1993. Thank you, Glenn.
Let's talk about organization a little bit. I don't want to embarrass anyone or particularly name names, but continually it comes up about, quote, our logo. Well, what about our logo? Well, you're getting pretty close to the very logo that is worn on the command of Sananda Ether. This thing is a triangle if you look at it flat on a piece of paper. It represents the pyramid. Well, that is an evil sign. I mean, look at the Illuminati, look on your dollar bill, or this all-seeing eye up here on the crest of the pyramid, or the triangle. Within that is a circle, and then we have the energy bolt and the craft. That's command insignia. Now, we could take away the triangle because that makes one look and say, well, that's an evil symbol. Who did what first? We did not come up with our logo after they came up with theirs. Hold that in your heart forever. Why do you think that in Lemuria and Atlantis and all of these ancient civilizations, as they are uncovered, you will find the symbols of the serpent? Why did they go down in the first place? Because they became so evil, so devouring of everything, life-sustaining, that they perished. And that's what's going to be dug up from these civilizations, for the most part. You're going to have to look very hard for the truth of and the balance of God. Because these physical places are schoolrooms. And when they finally go down, they are going to go down in garbage and evil. And that's what you're going to find. So you have to be very careful when you write and restructure history that, oh, there is that serpent of healing. BS. And I think you understand it now a little bit better. What is the caduceus? The staff. And usually you'll catch them making a wrong move and putting one single serpent up there. It's two serpents. Or vice versa. Either way, what does that indicate has happened to the medical profession? It is a symbol, it is a sign, it is a brotherhood. So let's go back now and look at the organization. The pyramid in our logo is one of the most eternal signs of the universe. So no, I won't get rid of it. And we will go back to utilizing our feathered friend as soon as that's feasible. And speaking of feathered friends, there are some other things that you're going to miss if I don't point them out as we go along. I want to ask, so somebody remind me to ask Gunter about the double ego. I'm not going to go into it here, but I'll tell you one thing. The double eagle is in the coat of arms of the Romanov family of Russia. And until very recently, and I'm not going to give away what I know to get anybody in trouble, Alexei Romanov was quite around. Did a newsletter, as a matter of fact. Interestingly enough, the same double eagle with the crown of the Romanov family is the logo of the House of Fabergé. And I just bet you a dollar to a peanut you're going to find that it's all tangled up in the CIA. Before you're done. Contact the Phoenix Project. My goodness gracious, there is still an ongoing clandestine black-funded service group called Project Phoenix, the Phoenix Project, in Southeast Asia. Your enemy will take absolutely everything of beauty and use it. How do you think Lucifer became the bright and morning star? That is shrewd business maneuvers. And it's confusing to the reading audience. You have to go learn something or you're not going to understand it. Not going to mean anything to you. So let's look at the Masons. We could also look at the Mormon Church. It isn't the Catholic Church. I don't want to single out religion. I want to talk about the secrecy that goes on, that is covered. It makes you feel like you're a little bit included. But let's not tell anybody. And there are dues to be paid for getting included in this group. With the Mormons, if you want in, you've got to pay your tithe. And they tell you what your tithe is. I it isn't a matter of 10 feathers off the chicken or something. They want some else. So you have some rules to get inside. To do what? To make some little vows and some oaths and things that sound pretty good, or maybe if they don't sound too good, you think, oh, well, they didn't mean that. And this is a holy place. How do you think so many priests have been able to molest children, have relations with parishioners, and these people just stand right out there in front of God and everybody and say, but this man was God to me. And everybody else who is not a Catholic is scratching their head and, what an idiot. But that's what religion does, and that's what secret orders do. So, John Doe, hot dog, I'd like to do some service work for my community. And Frank Smith comes over and says, well, why don't you come on down to the lodge and maybe you'd like to be a Mason? Hey, I bet I would. I'll do that. Go down and, oh, there's such camaraderie and they're doing all this stupid stuff in there, acting like a bunch of idiot kids. Have a guard at the door and all this stuff. Well, this looks like fun. I haven't done this since I was, 14. The blood and the crypt, I mean, here I am, I've grown up now into skull and bones variety. Well, this is really fun. We can go in there and giggle and go through these rituals and pull off half our clothes and do all the silliness and everybody laughs about it, but pretends to take it seriously, etc.
Well, I want all of you who have done that on any occasion whatsoever, not just the Masons, any place, in by candlelight usually, in a very, very somber way, you put on your silly hat, your silly apron, your silliness, and go expose yourself to this stupidity. And, oh yes, I swear to never tell or divulge a single secret, besides it would embarrass me to death to let anybody know I did this. Well, you get hooked there, and hey, that was really fun, and you get on with some kind of a meeting, and now you're going to help the little crippled children, so we're going to have a conference in San Francisco and all the great places, so let's go drink, put on our fez, and be merry. Make merry, really. In every way you want to. So now we get a little more serious about it. We start up through the ranks. And most of you will never make it to those higher degrees because they are reserved for the real bad asses of your world. But many of you will make it up to the 32nd, let us say. Now, I just want you to, in your mind, any secret society where you give an oath that you will not tell the silliness of anybody, I want you to remember back how many times were those oaths, blood oaths, if I divulge the secrets of this organization, my brother, I am obligated this way, my brother's obligated, and I will even understand it if he comes and kills me because I will have deserved it for telling. And how many of you literally took an oath that you thought was stupid, silliness, but you did it. You went in there and you put your hand on something or held it on the candle or did something and said, if my brother betrays, it is my obligation to kill him. And how many very subtly bow in homage to Lucifer as if he were the Christ person? And the only way you can tell the difference is by the ritual. As with the skull and bones, they bring a cadaver into the room because this is a very sophisticated group. Now, you wouldn't be able to afford to go down to the medical school at Yale and get a cadaver. But they can afford it at Yale University. So they bring in a cadaver and they each plunge a dagger into it, calling it Jesus the Christ. Now I want to tell you, there is no mistaking the intent or meaning of that action. They have just slain and taken control through the goat of Satan into Satanism. And I won't ask any of you ones to get up and give me testimony. Yep, I did that. Because most of you are like children. You go in and you want to be part of the group. Well, certainly I'm not going to go and stab somebody for tattling. But think about it, how tongue-tied you get when it comes to telling what goes on and why that would be. Because at some level you gave your oath. And that's why I hit Bo Greitz as hard as I did. He is a Mason. And it sounds pretty good. How many of us took our oath to the square? Sounds good, doesn't it? You immediately, your brain goes. And it says, oh, the flag, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, to make an oath and stand to the square is a Masonic oath. Does that make the square an evil thing? How about the compass? Is that an evil thing? Did they, the Masonic group, invent those things? Washington, D.C. is laid out on the Masonic emblems. The streets form the designs. Is Joe Blow Mason bad? No, he's probably one of the better members of your community. Does more service for your community than do others. But the head of Freemasonry is as evil as Satan himself. They are birthed with the Illuminati, and that nice symbol, that nice, well, let us just talk about 1776 in your special days. Your most special day is commemorated. That is the day of the Illuminati. You thought it was freedom for the United States. So I know you don't have time to go back and read 80 volumes. But before you quarrel with me, I'm going to tell you to go back and research it and read some of those 80 volumes. It's there. We've missed very, very little in your educational process. So, no. God will not change anything to meet the needs of ones who don't know what they're talking about, nor to again reduce the value and the beauty of a symbol of God. You ones are going to find more and more information coming forth, some good, some valid, some total BS, about sunken continents, rising planets, and places like Sumer will continue to be buried. Does that mean that everything in Sumer was good? No. No. Sumer was very, very near Babylon. And you're going to find more symbol of the serpent there. That does not mean that the brothers coming and placed you on this globe were evil. So what are we about? Are we trying to save the world, swing everybody around to God and goodness? Wouldn't it be nice? But certainly, that would be in the hands of Creator to do that. And it would negate all the lessons for all the interim experiencers to do that. And some of you have paid the dues of success in your journey into knowledge, into the knowledge of life. I don't concern about the ones who don't make it. And neither should you. If they be your responsibility, then you're going to concern with it to the limit of your responsibility. But I don't have to, because I can see both ends of the road. I also know who is what and what is what. And before you come into the oneness with God, you will have learned. You will have experienced enough to learn. Through those choices that can only be made in a physical format. And if you like coming back on the wheel over and over and over again, then you're certainly welcome to do that. Why would I interfere with your privilege to do that? That is a choice you're making. And I don't want the confusion around me permanently. It's all right for a little while. It's a game. It's fun. And certainly I can tolerate my most evil enemy on my ship for a few minutes while I put him wherever he belongs, if he happens to still be functioning around in a physical way. I'm not going to turn him into an energy form. If he's enjoying running around in this stupid physical nonsense and wants to go somewhere else. But into the places of God will go no evil. Now there are a lot of things that you better pay close attention to in that Bible. And on these points, I don't quarrel with ones like Colonel Grimes. And certainly, I have no quarrel with Colonel Grimes over giving an oath to his nation against enemies within and without. But does his oath to the Constitution mean one thing, and his oath in a secret ceremony mean something else? You see, to God, they are the same. Oh, well, but over here I didn't mean, and over here I did. No, when you come into knowing with God, it means the same over here as it does over here. And therefore, you will not choose to play in the game over here to the left. You will realize the truth of your life stream is over here to the right of God. And if 10 of you out of this group could explain to me the difference in left and right as you use it politically, I'd relinquish the podium. My goodness. The liberals and the conservatives, the right and the left. Come on, you are talking God and anti-God, really. Are you going to be so liberal that you just vote in every confounded thing that's evil? Or are you going to allow a little tiny shred of goodness? Was your nation ever good? No. Hear me, no. Not politically. You came into a new, glorious place of promise. And the politicians went right to work, right under the crown of England. And most of the ones who wrote your Declaration of Independence and your Constitution were Masons. That's why Washington, D.C. is laid out with all the symbols of Freemasonry. Well, weren't they pretty good? Some of them were exceptional. And certainly some stood for freedom against tyranny. But why would they understand what I'm saying here any better than you? You are people of the lie, the biggest, shrewdest, meanest, cleverest liar of all the universe is Satan. That's his game, my friends, to get you. Well, why doesn't God play as shrewd? Oh, guess who wins? So it pays a goodly, godly man to be as shrewd as that serpent. Utilize that which is set up for himself by that serpent. Remain godly in your goal and your direction, and be as filled with integrity as God himself as you effort to go about bringing into oneness yourself with God. Will you fall short and sin? Of course you will. There is no other purpose for your environment and your circumstance. Well, but I thought you said that some of us came back to do this and therefore we. When you put yourself back into the environment, my friend, you run the risk of being trapped there. And when your consciousness wants that more than that intent within your heart place or soul place to God, you certainly are going to make some mistakes because of the physical environment. It is when that intent to be one with God goes that you begin to blunder badly. And then when you deny God, you are really stuck again. But most of you will find that it is only in the consciousness that you make those errors and bad choices. And those just make your way difficult. So yes, you're going to be stuck with that. And if your intent is so cemented within God that push all of this other fluff away, there is just you and God. You don't even have to know it. That will not vary one iota. But it is what you do in your consciousness deliberately that will cause you, at that intent of oneness with God, to choose to try again and see if this time I can withstand the pressures of that human environment and expression to keep my purity. Well, don't expect any man around to do it. And don't blame ones like poor Jesus or dump all of your load on this one who came just exactly like you as messengers and workers. And paint him as some symbol of absolute idiocy. If the man was experiencing as a man with men, he would act like a man with men.